Okay, we're on the first agenda item this morning, which is council work priorities for next year. If you turn behind tab number one, there's some documents there for you to refer to. Paul Howard's going to lead the discussion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Before I begin, I'd like to introduce the council to our new employee. We've got a huge workload ahead of us, and we're very lucky to have Michelle Bachman on board. Stand up, Michelle. Give her a round of applause. Michelle just is finishing up her master's degree from SMAST, has worked with Kevin Stokesbury and all. Has worked with Dr. Cadron on yellowtail flounder, and that, in fact, that's what her thesis is. During the interview, she said she was smarter than all her instructors except for one, Dr. Pierce. So, anyway, welcome, Michelle. Okay, let's get right into priorities. For the first time in many years, we don't have enough resources on staff or at the Region and Science Center to accomplish our whole workload. So we're going to have to contract out some things. Some things may fall below the line. We'll have to, you know, prioritize actions among the different management plans to make sure we get done. And during executive committee, we talked about standardizing a timeline, which includes SSC review and major council actions, council votes, decision-making to go forward, and we'll have, you know, committee chairs come to the executive committee to make sure we're on schedule. It's going to be a very busy next 18 months. We also talked about that to get everything done, we need to meet our ACLAM new Magnuson Act requirements, we need to have final votes at our June council meeting in 2010. So basically that gives us 18 months on all these amendments. So as you look at what's included in the amendments, you have to say to yourself, are we going to be ready with IFQs, sectors, and all those things and other plans to have a final vote in June 2010? Okay, these are in no particular order, but at the end I'll make a recommendation on based on executive committee input and talking with the chair. First off, skates. As you note, we were supposed to make our final decisions on skates today, submit, and then basically just have a spec package in 2010, and we could go on and do something else other than skates in 2009. Hopefully, we can make our skate decision in February and vote on the final plan in February. However, if the data pool workshop changes the reference points and if the measures have to change significantly because of the new science, we're going to have to redo our skate plan, redo the DEIS, go out to public hearing again, and we won't be able to accomplish one of our other items. So keep that in mind, that what we'll do with skates is say, we'll put something below the line, I recommend, and then if we're done in skates in February, then it can come above the line. If we're not done, it'll have to stay below the line. So as you go through this, think about which action you want below the line that may be the first one that comes up when we're completed with skates. And hopefully that'll be February and not take the whole year. Multi-species groundfish plan, I'm planning on two actions. It's unclear now whether we'll have two or one, but I believe we'll probably have two. And that would be continue Amendment 16, have the vote in February for the DEIS, hold public hearings, and finish up at the June council meeting. And then shortly after that, we complete Amendment 16 would be to prepare the specs or ACLs that actually go into place for 2010 and 2011. So that would be a separate action in the summer-fall for our ACLs and AMs to kick in for 2010 and 11. Now, if we delay, if we're not ready in February to go out to public hearing, then we may combine this into one action. But hopefully we can get it all done, do the amendment first. That's probably the easier way to do it. Scallops, we're looking at continuing Amendment 15. As you recall, right now, Amendment 15 for scallops is loaded. It's got ACLs, AMs, capacity reduction, days at sea leasing, transfers among the limited access fleet, a new overfishing definition. It's got IFQs in it and open area trips. And that's a full load. One of the other things as we go through this at the end, what we want to do implicit in this is that we do ACLs and AMs first so we meet our timelines, and that should be our highest priority. So somewhere that should go in the motion, that we prepare ACLs and AMs first so that if we don't complete our other actions in the amendment, we can stop it and submit the ACL-AM portion of the amendment. But anyway, in scallops, you'll note that during the scallop discussion today, we'll be looking at eliminating some of those actions in scallops. Specifically, we'll be looking at IFQs and open area trips to see if we want to include that in this amendment. And that was tasked at the last council meeting. However, all those issues, leasing, capacity reduction, all of those could be eliminated from the amendment if the council so desires today. That's on the agenda. Another action contemplated for 2009 is to meet our new Magnuson Act is to develop a monkfish amendment. Amendment 4, note that right now the only item included in that amendment is ACLs and AMs, and also specs or, you know, catch limits, ACLs for 2011, 12, and 13. And again, we would submit that amendment in June of 2010 that would have the landings, ACLs, AMs for 11, 12, and 13. Now, because both councils and the region and the Science Center have a limited amount of resources, there is not an economist available to help us with the EIS on monkfish, nor is there an anthropologist available to help us with the social impacts. The staff will do the social impacts as part of the EIS, and we're looking at contracting out an economist to do the the economic impact statement for monkfish. And we've got several leads from the Science Center in the region on different agencies or folks they've worked with in the past to help them with EISs. Red crab, if you note that we were supposed to take an action in develop specs for 2000, or we were supposed to do an action in 2007 for specs in 2008. But we didn't have the resources to do it, and we just let them roll over. But there's no provision in the regulations to let them roll over, but we just didn't have the time or the resources to do it last year and this year. However, we believe we ought to get that done. I believe we can get it done rather quickly. There's only a few vessels. And what I'm hoping to do for landing limits, just specs, is to have our, actually Phil Herring, quickly look at updated landings. There's no new science, there's no assessments, hopefully get a categorical exclusion or just do a quick EA and roll over the specs that are in place now from 2007 for 2009 and 10. And then hopefully next year when we come back to do priorities, I'll have the funding to contract out a Red Crab amendment with ACLs and AMs. And the region, Pat has already said, there may be additional monies next year to do a quick LAP program. So that is a priority to get a quick spec package in for landings for 2009 and 10. Whiting, as you know, Whiting, we've delayed that, I think for 4 or 5 years. And it's still an open access fishery. There's very little fishery and revenues generated from that fishery right now, but it is a fishery we manage. A control date in place. It's been there for some time. We've reiterated that control date at least once. And it's a priority to do our Whiting Amendment to institute limited entry and to also address ACL and AM requirements and ACLs for 11, 12, and 13. Now, note on Whiting that we do not have the resources to do Whiting as well. We lack the economist to do the EIS. And we lack a social scientist to do the social impact assessment. Staff will do the social impact assessment, and we're going to have to contract out an economist to help us with the economic impact statement on Whiting. And again, I have the resources to contract that out, and we're pursuing that right now, at least setting the stages to do that. Herring, it's continuing the monitoring amendment. We'll include ACLs and AMs and specs for 2011 and 12 and 13 in the Herring Amendment that we're continuing. We're also going to have to stop that in 2009 for a short period to establish specs for 2010. Habitat, we're going to continue the Omnibus Habitat Amendment. We're expected to get that done in 2009, and then hopefully move on to other things. That as we discussed that at length at Executive Committee, that we have to move forward with our habitat amendment because it's impacting so many other species, specifically scallops and others, and we just need to move forward. RSC will continue as long as steering research in the region, as long as we continue to have the funding support from the Science Center, and they've indicated that probably will continue. So we'll continue steering research. And there's a new item now that should compete with everything, and that would be a framework adjustment to allow to review herring access to closed areas, which we discussed yesterday. That would be a groundfish action. So how we would accomplish this is probably look at one of these amendments, take that a whole amendment off the table, and the staff that I'd use for that amendment would be working on the framework in conjunction with Tom and Ann, who are working on the on Amendment 16 plus a spec package. So. We'd have to actually take an amendment out like herring or monkfish or scallops to accomplish that. Last but least, the executive committee talked about and is planning on developing or creating a interspecies committee that would include the chairs of every one of these actions, chair of the skate committee, multi-species, scallop, monkfish, etc. Each chair would be part of this interspecies committee. And during 2009, that interspecies committee would look at sectors, IFQ referendums, how are we going to standardize things, how do we standardize monitoring, how are we going to allow for transferability between sectors, between fisheries that are on days at sea and fisheries that have IFQs or sectors. So they're going to look at transferability, trade-offs, just a real holistic look at all our fishery management plans and how can we best use the same currency if necessary to allow for us to maximize yield and trade-offs among different fisheries. So, everyone was pretty excited that we needed this interspecies look and to look at SBRM observer coverage, prioritizing observer coverage. There was any number of issues that we need a holistic look and not a single species look. We had a detailed conversation about interspecies committee versus an ecosystem committee. So as we move into ecosystem management, there may be some overlaps that we can address in 2010. But for the most part, the executive committee felt we needed to start moving with an interspecies committee in 2009 to get things moving with a more integrated approach. So overall, the recommendation is to keep skates and to plan on skates lasting the whole year. Okay? Address multi-species, skates, scallops, monkfish, do the quick red crab spec package, do herring, and continue habitat in RSC. And below the line would be whiting and the framework for herring access to closed areas. So that's the first decision. Do you want to agree with that? The second decision would be, if in fact skates does not take the whole year, what do you want to come above the line, whiting or the framework for herring? And thirdly, you need to look at the items within the amendment to make sure those are prioritized, that we can get the decision and the documents done, all of them, by June 2010.
Comments from the council? Dr. Pierce.
Just first a clarification, Mr. Chairman. We ended a little late yesterday, and we did table action on the framework, I believe. Paul gave us a description of priorities and above the line and below the line with what I think was an understanding that we'd already decided to do the framework on herring. Obviously, I want to do that, but in the interest of making sure we follow the process and protocol, where do we stand relative to that particular action? It comes up now for discussion and then a vote, correct? And then once we vote it, and I assume, I hope we do, then we get into the discussions about where it goes, above the line or below the line. I certainly hope it goes above the line. But anyways, that's my question.
We need to lay that back on the table so that it's part of this discussion, Dave, if you want to make that motion.
Well, I can't recall Robert's rules. We postponed it till now, so doesn't it come up automatically? I turned to Gene for some advice on
it
that.
It was a postponement. You're correct. You're correct. Karen, could you bring that up back up?
I think it was not a vote to table. Was it a vote to postpone it to list discussion? So I think that if there's no objection, we're going to discuss it now and, you know, bring it back on the table, but that's not the right word. But it'll be discussed during the priority discussion.
Right. It's back on the board for people's refresh your memory. What the split motion, the second half of the split motion was. Any comments on what was presented by Paul Howard? Dave Gatham.
Question, Paul. You had something about, I think, an ecosystems plan. Was that to be done concurrently with the habitat work, or is that a separate thing with separate staff? And
that's for 2010.
But it's still concurrent with the Habitat Committee? I mean, it's the Habitat Committee you're going to have do that?
No, that don't even address ecosystem. Habitat, in 2009, we're continuing the Omnibus Amendment. 2010, we'd look at the ecosystem plan.
Okay. All right. So it's not something that could go on or off the table for next year. That's what I was, I can't remember everything you had on the board, and I don't have a sheet.
Dave, you don't have a copy of this?
Under Tab 1.
Tab 1, Executive Committee Report. Dr. Pierce.
Yeah, this is a set of proposed priorities offered up by the Executive Committee, correct? After a great deal of thought relative to what can and cannot be done, after you've done a thorough assessment of the staff you have and the work demand on that staff. So after that, you have concluded that there's absolutely no room for anything to be inserted into the menu, so to speak, correct? And that there's absolutely no other alternative to, well, specifically to this motion. If we do indeed have this decision to move with a framework, provided the regional administrator determines that she can't, the criteria are not clear enough for access, that we will have no other alternative but today to take something that's above the line and move it below the line. It's an either or. There's no room, no wiggle room. Correct? All right. Well, Mr. Chairman, how would you like to proceed relative to the specific motion? I think it would be useful for us to vote it up or vote it down, and then we'll know how we should best debate these particular above the line and below the line issues. My preference is to act on this now.
I think the cleanest way would be for a member of the Executive Committee to form a motion to advance the suggestions that Paul Howard just delivered. And once we have a motion on the board, you can amend if you want to remove something, bring it below the line, and insert the framework above the line. But I think we should come out of the gate with the slate that the Executive Committee is bringing forward to the council. Dave Preble.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, I want to address that motion, but I think that you're right. First, we need a motion on, on Paul's presentation. So I would move that the council accept, the priority list that as Paul read it.
Is there a second? Seconded by Rip Cunningham. Paul Howard.
Just for clarity, that would mean that whiting and a framework for herring access to closed areas would be below the line, and then you've got to decide with which one that comes up above the line first in the event skates is completed in February.
That's my understanding as well. Yeah, but that doesn't preclude this discussion right now of the motion that is currently on the board.
Rip.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If the proposer of the motion agrees, I would add to it that we would bring whiting up above the line if the skate action were completed quickly.
No, I can't go that far, Rip. I think we need to discuss this first.
Mary Beth.
Yeah, I'm just a little confused by how Paul just described that. I thought the discussion of the framework, first we would have some discussion to whether we would have a framework or not, and so that the motion should be to accept the Executive Committee's recommendations, which does not include the framework. And then if somebody wanted to include the framework, we'd have to have some kind of action on that.
Paul.
Well, based on yesterday's discussion, you can't discuss that herring framework without discussing priority. So basically, we took yesterday's discussion of postponing it. Now that motion, in my opinion, is null and void. It's open now. We've got to discuss priorities and whether or not we're going to do a herring framework or not, and we're discussing that now. Instead of postponing it to a separate action, which we could do, but it doesn't make sense to do it. It's got to be done with this action.
Yeah, I think the council needs to. We needed to have that discussion that was postponed yesterday in the context of the workload for 2009.
Right.
So,
right.
my strategy was to bring forward the slate that the executive committee looked at, knowing that this discussion also needs to be part of that, but to just get a motion out on the board. And now is the time to talk about the slate that the executive committee advanced and whether or not you agree with it or you want to make motions or recommendations to replace something that we recommended with this new issue. Terry Stockwell.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Could we bring the framework above the line by including it in with a spec package for under Herring?
Are you're suggesting that prepare specs for 2010 only, that second action under Herring to deal with the closed area access in the specs package?
Well, it's an action for 2010. I'm just wondering out loud whether or not it would be appropriate if we want to bring the framework above the bar, which I'm interested in doing, whether or not that would be an appropriate place to deal with it. I would be in favor of putting the framework above Whiting.
Paul Howard.
I don't know about the council, but I feel like if we're going to do a framework for Herring access to closed areas, it's going to be very controversial. It's going to take a great deal of time. And the spec packages that are in the midst of very complicated amendments are intended to be very quick. And I think this is so controversial that it's going to have to replace an amendment, and it'll probably take the whole year. So I think the answer is no. That's my recommendation.
Sally?
Yeah, some wiggle room that I see in the priority list is under scallops. The scallop committee is going to recommend to the council this afternoon to eliminate the ITQ alternative that's in Amendment 15. Whether that's good or bad, you know, that's a matter of discussion, but that's the recommendation that's coming from the scallop committee this afternoon, and it was a near unanimous recommendation. So that's, you know, as far as the amount of time that something takes, that could potentially take a lot of time, and depending on how the council receives that advice, will come off the to-do list.
Rip.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I like many of the council members, I do have a feeling that this issue of the bycatch in the Herring midwater fishery is an important thing that we are going to need to deal with. But in looking at certainly how the motion that up there is written and how the process will, I think, play itself out, we are saying that we would take something off of these list of things that we know need to get done, things that in some cases have been postponed, for putting above the line a measure that we're not sure will happen. Because if the regional administrator does find reason to take action, we've changed our whole set of priorities for something that won't happen. So I'm concerned about that as a process. And my own feeling would be I would like to see what kind of action that the regional administrator might take on this prior to us committing that we're going to move something else to take action.
Jim Alden.
Yeah, when I take a look at priorities, we've got a haddock fisheries that we're catching 10% of. We've got a cap on the herring so that it can't go up. Herring is underfished. And we're talking about taking skates, putting it below the line, and it's overfished. I mean, we have to deal with the priorities of what the realities are. We're catching 10% of the haddock. There's no risk. It's fully rebuilt. We're not utilizing the herring. It's overfished. There's no risk. It can't be a priority, and we have a cap on the total catch of haddock in the herring fisheries. I don't think we should even entertain taking some of these other important issues off the table at this time. Thank you.
Sorry, Jim, did you say we're contemplating taking skates below the line?
Yeah.
No, I don't think anybody was. Oh, Whiting. Yeah, Whiting. Okay. I just wanted to be clear. Nobody's suggesting to take skates below the line.
For the record, I misspoke, but we're taking something that we have already determined numerous times are a priority to put something on the above the line that really isn't a threat to anything. Thank you.
Dave Gaither.
Yeah, I'll put in a shameless plug for Whiting. It's the poor stepchild of this council every time. It's always the thing that gets tossed. It's an open access fishery. I mean, it's one freezer processor away from a disaster. If somebody comes up with a new way of dealing with whiting from a perspective of marketing, and by the time we catch up, there won't be a whiting left in the ocean. So, I'd like to see whiting move first above the line. My suggestion for the herring framework is to remand the intent of it to the herring committee to deal with any amendment that it's working on now. I mean, it's a monitoring amendment. This is a monitoring question. They could solve this with one sentence statement. Observers will be required on 100% of the trips in closed areas and make it part of the amendment. That would be how I would deal with this. It'll take a little longer, obviously, because the amendment's going to take longer than a framework would to have it go into action. But it could still be dealt with. So that would be my recommendation anyway.
Dave Preble.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't disagree at all with what Dave said or with the intent of what RIP wanted to do with making sure that whiting would be the first taken into consideration. My question right now, I carefully read the letter from Earth Justice, and it does seem, looking at this, as if there is an awful lot of ambiguity in the criteria that the RA has to work with, and that makes me very nervous about saying at this point that we want whiting above the line instead of herring. If this, in other words, I just don't, I'm not clear on it. I don't know enough about this yet. I think that if the RA, if her opinion is that she has everything she needs, and it's something like a statement here that says administration or administrator may place restrictions and conditions, if she's got enough to work with, then I don't have a problem with elevating whiting before herring. But I'm not sure, looking at this, there just seems to be an awful lot of ambiguity in the way it was written. The 1%, I'm not sure what that means at this point. And I'd really like clarification on that before deciding which one goes above the line in the event either one of them does.
Dr. Pierce.
Over a year ago, we debated whiting and herring. Whiting was above the line. We put it below the line, moved herring up, which was a wise thing to do. And if I recall correctly, we moved whiting below the line largely because of executive committee recommendations and staff insistence that there was still a major problem with the database and that it would take a great deal of time before the database would be there for us to use. And I don't think that situation has changed any. Laurie Steele is not here, so she can't really comment on that, but I suspect that's still the case. So I clearly would like to focus on whiting, but I don't think we're in a position to do that. And my priority is to get herring above the line, that is, this particular initiative regarding access criteria to the groundfish closed areas above the line. It's an extremely difficult chore or task to accomplish in light of everything that's been said so far and the restrictive nature of all of these individual activities for 2009 as proposed by the executive committee. So I can't move a particular species below the line, I'm sure, without getting a great deal of opposition, and I'm looking for a way to get my need satisfied, and I think the only way to do it is to put it into the list of issues for the herring amendment. So I would move to amend the motion. Okay, right now the main motion is that we accept the priority list as presented at the 11:20 council meeting. I would then amend to include criteria for midwater trawler access to groundfish closed areas. And the list of 2009 herring management actions. That's my motion, and I would assume that that would mean it would be folded into amendment number 2.
Is there a second to the motion to amend? Terry Stockwell seconds. Discussion on the motion to amend. Mary Beth.
I'm not sure that the herring amendment can actually deal with this issue. The vessels are allowed access to the closed areas in the groundfish plan, which is why we had Framework 43, which discussed this issue, looked at the available data, and determined that they could continue to have access to the closed areas. That was just a couple years ago. I don't remember the exact date, excuse me, that Framework 43 was implemented, but it was, I think, perhaps 2005. Perhaps Tom knows the answer to that. We're talking about redoing work that was just done recently. Obviously, we'd update it with some new information, but redoing it again. Obviously, I don't support the framework. I don't think that this motion deals with it well either, because this is, you were talking about a groundfish framework, not a herring amendment.
Else in the council? Dave Gaethel.
I know Gene's busy at the moment, but my question would be to Gene, can a herring amendment deal with a groundfish issue, basically? I mean, I don't see this as necessarily a groundfish issue. I see it as a herring issue. I don't see why the herring amendment can't deal with it.
Well, in the past we've had, it's an issue of who do you want to do the work. Do you want the council to do the work? Do you want the herring committee to do the work in this amendment? And then at a certain point, I mean, if you look at Amendment 2 on that sheet, it carries over into 2010. So you could have the herring committee do the work, but it could become a joint action. It could be a framework action of groundfish and an amendment. In other words, you can have like a dual amendment or a dual action that the herring committee would work on. We've done that in the past. Gene?
Well, and it depends on what you do exactly in this action, whether you'd have to amend or change the groundfish rule or not. As long as you're not making anything less restrictive or substantively different than what groundfish dictates concerning allowing herring vessels into closed areas, you can do something in the herring amendment, for example, that would be more restrictive. So it ultimately would depend on what you try to do. You can't, for example, change the 1% criteria to 2% in the herring plan without also changing it in the groundfish. You could change it to 0.5% as a herring measure that is designed to further control bycatch, for example.
Paul,
I think what the chair is talking about, Gene, is having our herring committee change section 600 point something, whatever it is, of the groundfish plan, bring it before the council, who's the voting body, not the groundfish committee, and have the council vote to change the groundfish plan through a herring committee deliberation.
And right. That's and I'm saying you don't necessarily have to do legal. That. It depends on what you're doing, whether you have to have the, whether you change the groundfish plan or not depends on exactly what's being proposed. So it could be a herring committee changing the herring rules, or it could be the herring committee developing a plan to change the groundfish rules. Now, you also have to be concerned about whether the proposed action requires an amendment or a framework, whether it's changing the underlying structure of the management measures in groundfish or herring, to the point that it's no longer just an adjustment of an existing management measure in either plan.
Council? Jim Odlin.
Yeah, I heard a couple of council members mention that they thought the 1% rule was ambiguous, but yesterday I thought I heard Pat tell us it was crystal clear how the 1% rule was, and I just, a clarification of that, it seemed to me that it's clear.
No, I didn't say it was crystal clear. I think it's somewhat open-ended, but that we can look at the language in the regulations, look at the language in the framework or action, the management action that adopted it, and we'll interpret the language. I didn't say we couldn't apply it, but I don't think it's completely clear either what was intended.
Rodney.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think Dave Gaither was right on target when he said the whole issue here is not changing it, it's monitoring so we can find out what's happening. So if you have the committee work on a monitoring scheme that in closed areas, we'll get the answer soon. And we'll know what to do from then on. That's the whole issue of this. It's not changing anything. It's just to find out what's happening in the closed areas. Thank you.
Thank you, Rodney. Anyone else in the council? Anyone in the audience? Vito?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Vito Calable. I think Jimmy Odlin and David Gaithel said a mouthful. I also don't understand, Mr. Chairman, being a heron fisherman myself for many years, that you have targeted just one group of fishermen. I don't know if it's a lack of knowledge amongst the councilors that you have two other gear types. One is called purse seine, which I did, and the other one's called bottom trawling. And the bottom trawling is going on, and everybody just don't know what's going on there. It's not in Maine or Massachusetts, it's in another state that fishes in our waters. And nobody's talking about that. Nobody's talking about any bycatch that does occur, and I only can tell you about years ago, in a purse seine. It does occur in a dragger. There are draggers that are targeting herring, just like a midwater trawler, a pier trawler, or a purse seine. No one's talking about that. If you do anything to keep the bycatch at a minimum, I believe you need to include everybody in that, and not just target these midwater trawlers. That's wrong. And the other thing is, when you talk above the line and below the line, because I've been on your whiting committees before and on the whiting advisory, is you've put that whiting so far down that you really need to look at that. Whatever you do, you do. It's up to the council and its wisdom. But you need to have all the facts on the table. And I think you're not listening to some of the people that understand it. And one is Jimmy Odlin. He does understand it because he fishes. So I ask you to listen to people that do understand it and to include everybody when you're trying to keep the bycatch down. And if you're requiring observers 100% in the closed area, that might not be a bad idea. Because then you'll have not hearsay, or because people don't like a certain fishery, say things that are not true, and some of the people have personified a small amount into very large amounts. I'm not saying that somebody didn't have an accident and catch something and adjust it. Yes, that happens. That happens in all fisheries today. But we're working to, you know, from any fishery, we're working to have bycatch at a minimum. We don't want discards or bycatch. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Vito. Gibb.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Gibb Brogan with Oceana. During this discussion, I pulled up the amendment, the last amendment to the herring FMP, and there was language that was put in there specifically for this kind of action that left it open that the council can take action to reduce or eliminate bycatch in the herring fishery through a framework. Or the language is whatever action is most expeditious, including specifications. So this is laid out in the FMP right now. It says that, in addition, gear restrictions, closed fishing seasons, and other measures to reduce or eliminate bycatch could be implemented through a framework adjustment to the herring FMP or through the specification process in the future as necessary and as determined by the council, simply in consultation with the herring and other species-specific PDTs and technical sectors. So it may not require a groundfish action to make this happen. Just consultation with the groundfish PDT to make sure that it holds water. So I urge the council to move forward with this one and add it to the 2009 list of action items. Thanks very much.
Anyone else in the audience? Mr. Libby?
Gary Libby, Midcoast Fishermen's Association. I just want to talk about bycatch a little bit. Our mission up there in Port Clyde is to lower bycatch in all fisheries. It's not just to pick on one fishery. And we're doing things to try to lessen impacts on bottom for habitat, lower bycatch in our fishery. And we like to see as much done as possible in all fisheries to lower this. This will be healthy for the resource and sustain all resources for all the people, because it is a public resource. It doesn't belong to anyone else but the public. And just wanted to give everyone an idea the most you can do to reduce bycatch will be the best for the fishery and the people. So just keep that in mind when you work on this stuff, and it's going to be difficult. Thanks.
Anyone else? Roger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Roger Fleming, Earth Justice, on behalf of the Herring Alliance. I'd like to speak in favor of this motion. I think it's a good motion. It's important to emphasize, as a couple of folks have done, that the issue here is not just monitoring. It's the criteria as well. They need to be reviewed. They need to be clarified. This would provide the opportunity to do it. I think it's good that it states that it could be done in a 2009 herring management action, because I think it could be done in either a specs package or potentially in the amendment as well. So I think that obviously we would like to see it done in a specs package, because we think it's an urgent issue that needs to be taken care of as quickly as possible. I'd also just like to clarify once again that it's that Framework 43 did not consider this issue. This issue about closed area access has not been considered since it was originally granted in Framework 18 in 1998. Thank you.
Anyone else in the audience? Back to the council. Mary Beth?
Yeah, I would just, you know, note that bycatch of haddock in general in the region, I mean, bycatch and discards is an issue across all fisheries and gear types. In the groundfish fishery, observed discards of haddock have reached as much as 500,000 pounds. I think it was in 2004. There's a lot of haddock out there. So do we need to deal with bycatch? Yes, we do. Do we need this motion? I don't think we do. I think that the herring committee is working on a monitoring amendment. we can ask the Herring Committee to take a closer look at the information around closed areas. We probably have looked at more bycatch information for this fishery than any other fishery in the region in detail in the last couple years, and that's what the amendment is all about. I mean, that's what we're doing in this amendment for Herring. So I don't think you need the motion. I think the committee needs to continue its work. I don't think we need to bring anything below the line for the Herring Committee to keep working on Amendment 2. Or Amendment 4, excuse me.
What else on the council? Ready for the question? All those in favor on the motion to amend, please raise your hand. Five opposed. Motion to amend carries 12 to 5. Anything further on the main motion as amended? Paul, if this carries, my understanding is that depending upon what comes out of data poor and how we deal with skates, once skates is done, we could begin work on the herring plan.
Well, the way I view this is that the herring...
I'm sorry. The whiting plan.
Yeah, the herring folks will now add this to their list of things to do. The number one priority would be ACLAMs and the specs, and then this will be the third thing. But they all should be... The direction is to complete them all in part of the amendment with that list of priorities. ACLAMs first... Spec package second, third, the closed area issue, with the closed area issue either going into the amendment or the specs.
Let me restate my question.
And that means the only other issue then is that if skates is completed in February, we can start on whiting right away as soon as skates is completed.
Okay, that was my question. Yeah. Okay. Anything further on the main motion as amended? You ready for the question?
Sally.
Just a quick question on monkfish. There was a letter, and there's been some discussion in industry about interest in pursuing an ITQ alternative in the monkfish fishery. And that's not clearly expressed in the priority setting document. With an expression of interest from industry, I think it's worthwhile to clearly state that that's an alternative that would be explored in Amendment 4 to the monkfish plan.
So we did discuss that on the executive committee, and given the workload and the need to get to the ACLs and AMs and the plans by 2011, I guess, for monkfish, it was discussed and decided that we didn't think we had the time to develop an IQ program in the monkfish plan this time around. That's why it's not listed in the under monkfish.
And the other issue was the interspecies committee to look at IFQ referendums and everything among all the plans.
Right. So if you wanted to make a motion to amend that or put it in there explicitly, that's...
All right. I'll do that then. I would move to include in the monkfish priority development of an ITQ alternative in Amendment 4.
Is there a second? Seconded by Jim Odlin. Discussion? Dr. Pierce.
Ordinarily, I might be supportive of it, but I hesitate because of what was indicated by the chair earlier on, and that is we have a draft 2009 council organization chart, and I looked at that chart and I said, this makes a great deal of sense for our thinking broader in scope and our considering that many of these fisheries do indeed overlap and there are significant bycatch issues. Effort shifts from one fishery to another so that you could almost call it one fishery. And with sectors going forward, and I assume they'll be implemented in a major way through Amendment 16, the linkage between groundfish, skates, monkfish, and dogfish, I think, is quite apparent. And I was glad to see you offer that up as maybe I'm misinterpreting this table. I suppose I should hold back a little bit and ask you to clarify. your organization chart, groundfish, skates, monkfish, and dogfish, was the executive committee's thinking being that this would all be one committee dealing with those four species, or they would be meeting frequently with each other because of crossover issues? Because if that's the case, then I would think that this whole ITQ approach would be better addressed across more than monkfish.
Yeah, that chart you're referencing, Dave, was for discussion, and from when the executive committee looked at that chart and we had a discussion about what does it mean, what is the intent, that's where we came up with the concept of the interspecies committee, to talk about the linkages between, you know, the SSC was talking about it as well on Monday, demersal fishing and the interactions of demersal species regardless of what permit you're fishing under or what day at sea you're under. So the concept wasn't to try to make that shift in 2009. It was to constitute an interspecies committee and to have the broader discussions about those interactions, and then possibly next year come back to the council and through the discussions from the interspecies to the council, deal with those broad linkages in 2009. Understanding that we have mandate to get ACL and AM inserted in all these plans, it was too much to contemplate making that transition and get the important work we need to get done for Magnuson.
I would suggest then that with these broad linkages, interspecies discussions, and you described those a short while ago, that this particular issue of ITQs for monkfish would be a very appropriate item for discussion by that particular committee. And I think you did indicate that in the list would be ITQ discussion, catch share discussion. So I'm very sympathetic to Sally's concerns, but I think this particular issue would be best left for that particular committee.
Thanks, Dave. Anyone else in the council? Sally?
Yeah, I appreciate the consideration of the need for a comprehensive consideration of an ITQ alternative, but I just don't see how the council's going to be able to do that given the high hurdle that this region has to deal with the supermajority referendum requirement. And like I said before, with the expressed interest from industry in seeing if this is a viable option, I think we can rest assured that there's going to be significant input in developing a viable ITQ alternative for monkfish to see if it's even going to work in the region. I think if we're even going to see if there's an opportunity to go in this direction, that good or bad, we need to consider it just in the context of one fishery, one FMP as it's now delineated, the monkfish plan. Despite the interactions with other FMPs, especially the multi-species FMP, but you know, if we did that, I don't think we'd get anywhere. I think we could get somewhere. We can actually see and put some real viable alternatives on the table to see if it's something that people really want to consider if we do it just in the context of monkfish. Thank you.
Rip Cunningham.
Thank you. I share a lot of Sally's thoughts on this, but I am concerned about the fact that the referendum issue, which has not been settled yet, comes into play. The amount of time it may take to complete the referendum, et cetera, may delay the ACL-AM aspect of this. I'm wondering whether Sally's idea couldn't be broadened to say, to rather than just explore the concept of ITQs, that in that you would explore the concept of output management regimes, whatever they may be, sectors or ITQs or something else, to rather than focus just on the ITQs.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Every one of our plans has discussed some form of lapse. Either the industry or the committee has talked about lapse in IQs and groundfish, scallops, monkfish, red crab, herring. The only exceptions would probably be skates and and whiting that we haven't really discussed them. So there's a clear indication that, you know, we're moving towards allocation systems and stuff like that that we discussed at the executive committee. And really, your motion to ask the service to develop a plan to transition us from input to output controls is so spot on. And for us to spin our wheels with developing these programs within 18 months and not have the service have the resources to implement them. So what we talked about was, you know, put the service on notice that we're transitioning, get a budget developed and planned that we can move in that direction, get an interspecies committee up and running to standardize our approaches to baselines, monitoring, enforcement, trade-offs, sectors, IFQs, the whole business, and then move forward, you know, with a plan instead of piecemeal. And so that was the overall discussion of how to proceed, how to best proceed.
Anyone else in the council? Dave Preble.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is I've gone back and forth with this. I'm very much in favor of the ITQ alternative, and I also understand completely that the council does not have the ability to develop that at this time. But my understanding is that a majority of this would be more or less an industry-generated alternative, and I would prefer to leave it in at this point. We can always take it out later, but I'd like to leave it in as an alternative and see what industry comes up with. My sense of it is that an industry-generated ITQ program would have a far easier time surviving the vote than something that we come up with anyway. I'd like to see what the industry comes up with on this.
Arlene, this is a jointly managed plan. You care to weigh in?
Well, from our perspective, from the Mid-Atlantic Council, we're not opposed to looking at this. We're not quite ready to, you know, jump head first in, but I don't think there's any opposition from our end to look at the individual quota, whether it's transferable or not, for the monkfish. And I'm probably on that committee. I don't remember exactly now. I'm on so many, so it's probably another one I'm on. But we would like to be involved in this process. Thank you.
Paul Howard.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I think we have to be careful about saying the industry wants an IFQ program, and we have one letter. And, you know, we said we thought the industry wanted consolidation, and there's been a lot of work done that you'll hear this afternoon in scallops that, you know, we've got to be careful about, you know, saying the whole industry. And we found out that with consolidation that there was an actual look at every permit holder, and it's really not the whole industry.
Anyone else in the council? Dr. Jim.
Yeah, I have a comment that I'd like to get in that's not directly about this motion, but just in general about the priorities with regard to the Data Poor Working Group. I'd like you to note that the deep sea red crab is also one of the stocks that group is working with. So I know that you're thinking about how the results of that working group will affect your action on skates, but you should also pay attention to the results of the working group with regard to the red crab, because they could be coming up with some new approaches for biological reference points.
Can you tell us a little more? What are they?
No,
sneak peek.
I don't know yet. I don't know, but it's within their charge to be looking at those. Those are their terms of reference.
So we may get biological reference points on red crab. Paul Howard.
Well, that certainly complicates things because we're planning on just rolling over the specs we have, and I think we still can do that. Again, we don't, I've heard before from a very bright lady that we don't have to wait for the science. We can act with what we have.
And what we have now, I think what we ought to do is just roll over the specs, and we're scheduled to do an amendment in 2010, and whatever we get from the data pool workshop will incorporate into the 2010 amendment for ACLs and AMs. But I think we ought to just roll over the specs in a quick package as we plan.
Dave Preble.
Okay, thank you. Just a quick one here. As far as the what Paul was saying about the squeaky wheel thing is, I understand that, but there's an awful lot of interest in southern New England that I've been hit with on personal contacts with monk fishermen that really very badly would like to see the ITQ program move forward.
Terry.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I liked RIP's approach of an output control alternative. I'm wondering if the maker of the motion would accept that as a friendly.
Well, I heard what RIP said about that, and I think that only broadens the scope of work under monkfish, and as far as priority setting, it makes the monkfish line item even bigger. So to include ITQs and other output-based management allocation schemes. So, given that we're trying to keep something discrete, I don't know that is going to be the best way to go, because it's going to make the amendment even bigger.
Well, point well made, but I'm interested in having sectors considered as an alternative as well.
Pat Kirkle.
Gets bigger. As soon as you start to talk about it, it gets bigger. My question would be, would the intention be that ACLs and AMs are the priority, and if it appeared as if we weren't going to make the deadline on ACLs and AMs, that the other parts of the amendment would be delayed?
Okay. That goes for every action.
Okay.
Terry.
Well, if it's not a friendly to include sectors, I'd like to make a motion to amend to include sectors into this.
Is there a second? Seconded by Mike Leary. Discussion. Dr. Pierce, then Dave Gaith.
By putting sectors and ITQs in the same basket, to me, it becomes a bit confusing. I've always envisioned sectors as an intermediary step towards ITQs or IFQs or some sort of a catch-share approach. So if we're going to state where we're going to go with this, why don't we state it right now? Is it sectors or it's going to be ITQs? I don't like including sectors in the mix. And again, I don't prefer to include ITQs in this particular initiative, since it is going to be far, far more complex than anything we've ever undertaken, I suspect. And it overlaps into scallops, into groundfish, into all these other fisheries that do take monkfish. This is not going to be a simple task. It requires interspecies committee deliberation. You already indicated, Mr. Chairman, that this is going to be one of the topics for their consideration. I don't see how this is going to dovetail. It's not going to dovetail well. Monkfish committee could be going off in one particular direction, and the interspecies committee would be going in maybe other directions. And it's too messy, as far as I'm concerned, and too premature.
Paul Howard.
One of those issues that, thanks, Mr. Chairman, that Dave just mentioned, sectors he views as a intermediate step to IFQs. We had a lengthy discussion at executive committee that we view them as two separate tools. And that when you're talking about trade-offs among fisheries, when you're talking about administration, enforcement, flexibility, reducing bycatch, there are certain species, multi-species, single species, that you might want to treat with sectors and some with IFQs that have benefits and costs. So, that's why we talked about an interspecies committee looking forward and deciding which of our fisheries have the most interactions and how do we want to manage them with sectors, IFQs, days at sea, that type of thing, before we jump to ITQ is the best.
Dave Gaitham.
Yeah. After listening to Paul's initial presentation this morning, I was going to make a joke about what we were going to do on the seventh day, because I don't think there's enough time here to do it in six, what we already got. But if these motions both get passed, now I know what we're doing on the seventh day. We're not resting, that's for sure. Personally, I think the interspecies aspect of all this is much more important initially. As numerous people have mentioned, the service hasn't caught up with where we already are yet in terms of the administration and the ability to monitor and everything else. I think we should leave well enough alone for the moment with the list that's already here. I won't vote for either the amendment or the main motion. I just don't think we have the time to do this right now. I don't think the service has the ability to monitor or administer it yet. And I think the interspecies aspects of this are much more important. We've got to find a way to consolidate these boats across permits and plans and everything else. I mean, that's the basic problem we have across every one of our management plans is too many boats. And we've got a golden opportunity right now because of a combination of the economy and the various plans that we have in effect to get rid of a lot of excess boats and permits. And that should be our number one priority, because once that's done, a lot of the problems associated with fisheries management go away, because you don't have this ability to reconstitute the fleet somewhere in some fishery every time there's a little bubble of fish that shows up, no matter what species it is. So I really would like to work on this interspecies aspect, find a way to consolidate these permits, get rid of all these McHale's navies that are floating around everybody's front yards at this point with all these skiffs and all this other foolishness that's associated with you know, playing this game of leasing and everything else, and get down to a core fleet of boats that's capable of supporting itself. So anyway, that's my thoughts on the subject.
Paul Howard.
It might be beneficial if perhaps Phil could just quickly go over where we are currently with the monkfish. I know we're not, in terms of the last assessment, where the science is and what the current goals of the plan are and how we're managing now, that might add to this conversation.
As of the last assessment, which was done in the context of the Data Poor Working Group, monkfish is no longer overfished. Overfishing is not occurring. And at the current level of catch, landings anyway, even exceeding the target tax by 30% each of the past, the 3 years since we did the analysis, the stocks were projected to continue to grow. There's a lot of uncertainty in this assessment. It used a new model. The data has improved, but it's not, completely solid and robust. We still don't know a lot of things about monkfish. What is unique about monkfish, I think, is that it is actually caught in just about every fishery to some degree. And we have addressed the bycatch issue, that is the discarding, by setting appropriate incidental catch limits for just about every fishery, including the surf clam dredge fishery. They get 50 pounds a day up to 150 pounds. Because from time to time they catch them, and rather than throw them over, we have allocated. Another fundamental management philosophy that's underlie this plan since the beginning has been that the incidental catch fishery takes precedence in access to the target tack, and the way that's manifested in the plan is that when we calculate the target tack, we look at the incidental catch in all of the other fisheries up to the most recent date available, and subtract that, assuming that it's going to essentially be at the same level the next year, subtract that from the target tack, and the remainder is then distributed through a calculation to the directed fisheries. And so that is a complicating factor when you propose to manage with an ITQ, because you have to really rethink the whole basis of monkfish and avoid creating discards unnecessarily because the directed fishery is buying up the ITQ. It's not a simple thing. It will take time. Not to say that it couldn't be done,
But if we need to look at ACLs and AMs, and also to at least carry forward the specs which expire after next year, then we would need to you know, reconsider the priorities, because I think it will take a lot of time.
Thanks, Phil. Anyone else on the council before I go to the audience? Terry?
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Chair. My interest in including sectors into the mix is because of the great overlap between monkfish and groundfish and the soon-to-be 19 groundfish sectors. The conversation is going to happen anyhow. I'm sure it will happen at the monkfish committee. And should IFQs not be a viable alternative, sectors may be. And I think it would be a healthy discussion. And as Pat pointed out, it's a secondary priority in the amendment, and it should be included.
Okay, I'm going to go to the audience. Maggie?
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I have a question on the Stockwell motion to amend. I believe it's the council's sector policy that a vessel cannot be in more than one sector. So if you were to have sectors in monkfish, being that that's a separate FMP, would those groundfish sectors, vessels be able to bring that monkfish sector into their groundfish sector, given the council's policy, which, by the way, I thought was not a good idea to from the start to say you can't be in more than one sector. But it just, you know, that complicates whether or not you would, the sector option would be helpful or not. I guess if we decided to go that route, the council's policy on sectors would have to be changed to accommodate that. With regard to the Maine motion, obviously Associated Fisheries of Maine asked for consideration of this, and we appreciate that the council is considering it. I did want you to know that I have spoken to a lot of other people in the fishery in both the northern and southern area, and there is a great deal of interest. I also spoke to the chairman of the Mid-Atlantic Council, who, by the way, just walked in, and he was not opposed to it and volunteered to me that he would have some discussions with people in that region to talk about the level of support. All you'd be doing by approving this main motion now is to say, you're going to scope this. You're going to scope this amendment anyway, right? So scope it and see if there's a lot of support from the industry along the coast for this approach. If there is, we'll try to figure out a way to do it. If there isn't, you can cut it right out of the amendment right at the start. I think when you do go to scoping and the industry looks at ITQs in terms of what are the alternatives, if you don't have an ITQ and you have an output-based, you go to output-based away from days at sea and trip limits to a hard tack and shut down the fishery in the middle of the year or in the middle of a quarter or something, that's going to be a disaster for the monkfish fishery, but which, by the way, is one of the most valuable fish that we bring across the dock. Every day of the week, you get good money for that fish. And you have to bring it across the dock every single day of the week in order for that to continue. So if you have closures shut down because you reached a tack, I mean, that's going to be a disaster. The other alternative for your ACL and AM is to go to a further reduction in days at sea and trip limits in the subsequent year like we have been doing. Well, in the southern area, you know, that's going to be a big problem because they're over their tack, you know, consistently by huge amounts every year. So, again, when the industry looks at the alternatives to, they were over by 140% in 2007. So, you know, and they have been, the southern area has been consistently over the tack for monkfish. The north reached it in 2007. But anyway, the point is, what is the alternative? An ITQ is an example of an ACL and an AM. So why wouldn't you include that as a possibility? You could continue to develop whatever ACL and AAM you're going to have. Let's say it's reductions in days at sea and triplets in the second year, and that part of the amendment could go forward. And then you take the ITQ part to referendum and see if people would prefer that. So, I think this needs to be scoped. You need to ask the industry in your scoping process, do they want this or don't they? And I think you'll be surprised at the answer. Now, I realize that the referendum creates a problem. You don't want to do a lot of work and then have it voted down. But I think you'll get a sense of that. I would also say that, you know, you should start with your monkfish advisory panel. Ask them to draft you could do this even before you went to scoping. Draft a straw man to bring to scoping and say, well, you know, here's a straw man, here's how it might work. Again, I think this is I really hope that you will vote for the main motion. I guess the amendment is, you know, the second best thing, though. I think that, you know, there's a lot of problems with sectors that, you know, we're going to find out about it very soon, and that an ITQ is a much simpler, easier way to go about accomplishing the same goals. So I urge you to vote in favor of the main motion. Thank you.
Ron.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ron Smolowitz, Fisheries Survival Fund. I just have a question on a monkfish is a very unique species because, as Phil said, it's caught across many fisheries and is landed by many. So if it comes to a referendum issue, does that mean everybody that lands that particular species would be in a vote? We don't know the answer to that.
We don't know.
Okay. So one of the things I would just like to point out, I'm not going to take a position on these, though I think you have a lot of points. You know, one hand, going to scoping to get public comment is very important. On the other hand, sometimes you bite off more than you could chew. The thing that I'm concerned about is this idea that output measures are always better than input measures. In Europe, it's called technical measures. The fact of the matter is that you usually are referring to effort when you refer to input and output. And output might be a very good way to control effort. There's no doubt about that. With this new world of ACLs and AMs, we're going to be managing in a much more restrictive fashion. However, technical measures and input controls are the tools you're going to have for managing issues such as habitat impacts, good or bad, bycatch issues, protected species issues, carbon footprint, the whole nine yards. And in some cases, if you in a fishery like monk fishery, which is very complex, you might find out that you're much better off with a suite of technical measures under the overall cap or umbrella of the AMs and ACLs. That's my two cents. Thanks.
Thanks, Ron. John Williamson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. John Williamson, Ocean Conservancy. We'd like to we recognize the value of the concepts contained in both these motions, and we certainly would like to see these approaches built into planning over the long term. But on the other hand, this begins to make me very uncomfortable considering our understanding of the magnitude of the work that this council has ahead of us in developing ACL, a process for ACLs in various plans and accountability measures in various plans. Recognizing that these approaches that are contained in these two motions are probably fall well within the purview of developing accountability measures, you may be getting a little bit ahead of the game here in going right to this immediately. I know from the discussion and what John and Paul outlined this morning, the intent appears to be to include an interspecies committee in your priorities. And though it's not explicitly stated in the motion this morning, I also take from the discussion earlier that Paul is strongly suggesting that accountability measures and ACLs be the priority for all plans to be developed in 2009, and that those measures not be held up by other measures contained in some of these amendments. And that's good, but we'd like to see that explicitly stated in the main motion when it finally comes to the vote on the main motion. Gib Brogan from Oceana and myself, from Ocean Conservancy, submitted a letter to the council outlining what we see as a need to take a step backwards and make an overview, on how ACLs are going to be developed for all the fishery management plans, and including the fishery management plans that are being developed, or the ACL and AM process for the Mid-Atlantic Council as well, because there's a lot of interaction between fisheries managed in this region and fisheries managed in the Mid-Atlantic, and there's certainly implications for both councils to cross-pollinate on how they approach these questions. These are all questions that are potentially should be before this interspecies committee that has been discussed, but I'm not sure about the explicit commitment to the priorities for the interspecies committee. We'd like to see that included in the main motion this morning. The problems that Phil Herring outlined just this morning on monkfish really illustrate the need to take a comprehensive look at how ACLs are going to be applied and how you are going to work out differences between the various fishery management plans. I mean, the monkfish are caught in several different fisheries and are a major component of several different fisheries. And there are some policy questions that arise from that that right now are just vague on your horizon, but as these FMPs are being developed, ACLs are being developed in these FMPs, they're going to become critical questions to be answered. So we would be much more comfortable this morning if in the end there was a firm commitment to a comprehensive approach to developing accountability measures and applying a process for allowable catch limits, that comprehensive approach was explicitly part of the priorities for 2009. Thank you.
Phil Herring.
Monkfish is in a unique position in another respect. If you believe the most recent assessment, which comes with a lot of caveats, if you set your ABC at the limit fishing mortality rate times the existing biomass, you backed off of that by 75% for your ACL, which might trigger a closure, you'd still be substantially above current catch rates. If you took your current target tax and increased them 20%, and put in another 20% on top of that for discards of undersized fish or fish of poor quality, you would still be way below your ACL. So the concept that you're going, and that is if you believe the assessment right now, because fishing mortality rates are about 20 to 30, 40% at the most of the target fishing mortality rate. So the idea that you're going to have these closures and trigger AMs that's going to close the fishery based on your ACL, at least from my estimation, given the information I have right now, it's unlikely. That could all change. If we have another stock assessment, given that this was a data poor workshop, we have a scheduled another cooperative survey in the spring of 2009, all this could be off the table again. We could be back where we were. But everybody's always thinking we're right up against our ACLs and everything's going to be, you know, we're pushing the limits on everything. Based on the most recent assessment, Monkfish is in a very comfortable position to increase the tax by 20% and not even come close to your ACLs as they would be defined right now. That could all change, but you know, it's not. There isn't the urgency as there is with other species because you're right up against or over your fishing mortality targets.
Okay, back to the council. Rodney.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. You go down to docks, you hear fishermen. Fishermen are always telling us, nothing's working. Give me my quota. Just give me my quota so I can form a business plan. Give me my ITQ or my whatever it is. That's what I'm hearing on the docks when you walk the docks. So I think we get up to a door, and because of the referendum, we're saying that door is locked. We never know unless we open that door. So I think it's time to put it out there, see if that door is locked or not. We will, like Maggie says, we will find out very shortly. We're going out to scoping, and if it's not, then we go down another road. Thank you.
Doug.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. After listening to the discussion here, I still am leaning towards executive committee's process with this, looking at IFQs and sectors on a larger scale, how things interact. So because of that, right now I'm leaning towards voting against most of these, both of these.
Anything further before I call the question on the motion to amend? Ready for the question? All those in favor, raise your hand. Nine opposed. Eight. Motion carries 9-8. Now we're back to the amendment as amended. Ready for the question? All those in favor, raise your hand. Fifteen opposed. Two. Now we're on the main motion as amended. Anything further on priorities for 2009? Phil, you can't make a motion, but you might have a comment.
No, it's a question. There was some discussion as to within the Monkfish amendment, the priorities of getting ACLs and AMs first and the specs second and then third. In terms of allocating staff time and committee time to discussion and so on, at what point do we decide we've satisfied the first and second and then we can begin to undertake, or are we still going to try and develop all of these somewhat simultaneously? If we go to scoping and we get three-quarters of the comments about ITQs, is that going to overwhelm the discussions of the ACLs and AMs and the work that we, PDT, will do towards developing the specs? Or do we just not, we take the notes and then we just don't talk about it for 6 or 8 months and see how we're developing on the other things?
Unless there's objection, my understanding and part of this recommendation that came out of the executive committee, and if you vote this through, the way that I recommend it play out is that getting the ACL and AM work done first is the priority for every committee that's working. We have an 18-month timeline to meet our requirements. However, the committee wants to prioritize all the other work that it may be working on is for the committee to discuss and bring back to the council as it develops the plan, but the ACL and AMs are at the top. Any objection? Paul Howard.
And to continue on, and the second priority is specs, so you can get your landing limits in the following year. And there may be some leeway. You may be able to work on specs and LAP programs simultaneously, but know that you got to drop the LAPs to get your specs package in on time and to do all your work. So I thought it was pretty clear, Phil. ACLs first, specs second, and your IFQ LAP programs third. And make sure you get things delivered on time. There will be timelines developed that are the same for every plan. The committee chairs will come to the executive committee to make sure they're getting everything done. And so it's...
Just to follow up then, there's some uncertainty about the timing of the next Monkfish assessment, whether it's in the context of the Data Poor Working Group or now SART. But that could come into play in terms of finalizing both the ACLs and the specs and drag that on. We could get to a certain point and then have to wait to the assessment or decide that we won't have an assessment in time and we'll proceed with updating of the current information.
As it stands right now, the SAW-SARC schedule does not have Monkfish on it, and that schedule is through 2011. Dr. Jim?
Yeah, at the NRCC meeting, we didn't pick an exact date for the meeting, but we scheduled it roughly for around the time of SARC 50, which would be around June of 2010. But we did not have certainty about the date.
My recollection is a little different, Jim. We fought long and hard to get Monkfish on the schedule. At the end of the meeting, it was not on the schedule. So right now, it's not planned. We're going to go forward submitting the Monkfish amendment in June of 2010. That's it. That's your timeline, Phil, June 2010. The final decisions for the council, and to my knowledge, there will be no assessment before June 2010.
Which is when we're submitting. So we're doing this without an updated assessment. So we'll be doing this without an assessment update. Okay, thanks.
Anything further? Ready for the question? All those in favor, raise your hand. Fifteen. Opposed? One. Motion carries 15-1. Okay, we're going to take a quick break so we can allow Habitat to set up. I'd like to recognize the chair from the Mid-Atlantic Council, Rick Robbins, walked in. Rick, we're going on the break. I'm going to work on getting you a seat at the table. All right.